Thank you, Kyle, for reading the Word of God to us. We are a church that believes the Bible is the Word of God and that it is good for us to hear it read and to learn from it. Hey, if you are visiting, if you are new, I just want to introduce myself. My name is Sean. I serve as one of the pastors here at the church, and I am so happy that you are here today because Jesus is alive. And we are celebrating his resurrection here on Easter. So welcome. We're happy that you're here. The world was at war. It was in the 1940s during World War II that one man, one engineer, was given the very important assignment of figuring out how to protect the equipment on Navy ships. You see, when the ships would go and the seas would get rough and the ship would go to and fro, then the equipment could fall and get damaged, or it could be slid up against the wall and bang around and get damaged. And if the equipment was damaged, well, then the ship was vulnerable. And hundreds, even thousands of people could die if the enemies took advantage of that vulnerability. So this engineer had the job of stabilizing, of protecting this equipment. And he had an idea. He thought, I can put springs on the bottom of the equipment and then it'll protect them whenever the ship gets tossed to and fro. So he began working on designs, and he had several different. They were on his desk one day, and as he was walking by his desk, he accidentally bumped one of the springs off the desk. But it didn't just fall. He noticed it kind of walked a little bit, and it caught his eye. And he determined at that moment that he was going to start working in his free time on another very important project. So he began to work on that and to make different designs for this project. And after a long time of trying to figure out, he finally invented the world's first slinky. Some people say that invention saved the world, that it ended the world. No, actually, no one says that. But slinkies are pretty cool, right? I had a slinky growing up. Maybe you did too. I mean, they're fun. That was one of my favorite toys. It lasted about 10 minutes, and then I got it all knotted up, and it was never the same after that. I loved my slinky, and it's cool to know how it began. It's cool to know the beginning of the slinky. Well, today here on Easter, we are starting a new series of lessons that is all about the church, and we are starting at the very beginning of the church. So today, as we look at Acts chapter 1, verses 1 through 3, we are going to see how the church got started. We are going to see how it all began. So we are calling this series of lessons Acts Season 1. And you might ask, Sean, why Season 1? Why not just call it Acts? Why do you have to put Season 1? Well, today we are looking at verses 1 through 3. And the book of Acts has roughly 1,006 verses in it. So at that pace, I mean, I'm no mathematician, but it would take 335-ish Sundays to get through the book of Acts, which is roughly 6.5 years. So I figured we'd just split it up into different seasons and come back, you're welcome. So we're going to start by looking at the very beginning. And I don't know what your background is. I don't know what has been going on in your life lately. I don't know what has been on your mind. I don't know what your life is like. But perhaps you are here today and you look at your life and it's just not what you thought it would be. Your life is just not what you dreamed it would be. Your life is just not what you hoped it would be. You look at how your anger has destroyed some of your closest relationships. You look at how your greed has made you into someone that you never wanted to be. You look at how your envy has stolen all of the happiness that you thought that you would have in life. Your life just isn't what you want it to be. And maybe you're here today and you are hoping for a new beginning. Now, if you could just start fresh, if you could just start new, then things would be different for you. Well, if that's you, then you are in the right place this morning. Because as we look at the beginning of the church, we are going to see two pillars of a new beginning. And these two pillars are not just for the church. If you have been longing for a new beginning, then this is what you need to hear. There are two pillars for your new beginning. Or perhaps you're here today and you have already trusted in Jesus and you have already received that new beginning. Well, then today I want to remind you of these two pillars of your new beginning so that you may praise the resurrected Lord on Easter Sunday. So two pillars for a new beginning. Let's start with the first pillar. Number one, Jesus came and taught. That's the first pillar of a new beginning. Jesus came and taught. When I was young, back in the Stone Age, as they called it, I used to get really, really frustrated. I would have a question about something that I really wanted an answer to, and then I couldn't find an answer for it. And I mean, I'm sure that you had questions when you were young too. You wanted answers to questions like, how does a caterpillar turn into a butterfly? Or one of my favorite questions when I was young, I still haven't gotten an answer to, why are girls so weird? Or a question like, is apple-flavored candy healthier than regular flavored candy? I had these questions when I was a kid. Or question of, why is it that the fiduciary duty of financial advisors that they have to their clients seems at odds with the financial institutions that they serve? You know, typical questions that a five-year-old has. Okay. I had all of these questions, and I would get really frustrated because I didn't always have an answer to those questions. And what it took was meeting someone who knew about this, meeting someone who knew about caterpillars and butterflies, who had read about it or who had studied it. If I could meet someone like that, then I would finally have an answer. But if I didn't know anyone that knew the answer, then guess what? I just wouldn't know. But then my life changed when I met someone. That person's name is Google. It's not actually a person, it's a thing. Now, if you are my age or older, do you remember when Google came out? Or Ask Jeeves, I think technically was what it was before that. It was like all of a sudden now you had an expert on a million different things right at your fingertips. You could ask it any question. It was like an expert had moved into your home and you could go to that expert anytime about anything to get any answer you wanted. Except it was actually a lot less creepy than I just made it sound. You had an expert, and now you could find answers. Well, look with me at Acts chapter 1, verse 1. It says, I wrote the first narrative, Theophilus, about all that Jesus began to do and teach until the day he was taken up, after he had given instructions through the Holy Spirit to the apostles he had chosen. So the author of the book of Acts is a guy named Luke. And he references right there, in the very first words, I wrote the first narrative. He's referencing this first narrative. That is another book that Luke wrote. You know what that book is called? The Gospel of Luke. That's right. You're geniuses. Yeah, he wrote this book. And when he refers to this first narrative, he is talking about the book of Luke. Guess what the Gospel of Luke was all about? Guess who the Gospel of Luke was all about? That's right. I was hoping someone was going to say Luke. But yeah, it was Jesus. It was Jesus. We're in church, you know. It was all about Jesus. And if you go back to the very beginning of the Gospel of Luke, then you read about how Jesus came from heaven to earth. You read about the Christmas story, right? Whenever you think of the Christmas story, you know where you go to in the Bible? Luke at the beginning. Okay, so Luke is all about how Jesus, who is fully God, added humanity to himself, how he became one of us. Jesus came. That's what the book of Luke shows us. There are some things that just make life easier, right? You know that there are things in your life that just make everything easier. The lock, unlock remote for your car doors, right? I mean, do y'all remember before that existed? Yeah, it was awful. That makes life easier. A dishwasher? Could you imagine doing all of your dishes by hand forever and ever? I mean, that's awful. Noise-canceling headphones? You know, parents, I know that you were just thinking, amen, amen, but you're not going to say it out loud. It's fine. Yeah, there are some things that just make life easier. And some companies have recognized that, and so they want to help make our lives easier. Maybe they are cable companies or internet providers or phone companies. They have stepped up their game to help us out. Isn't your life so much easier when you have to call one of these companies and you have the absolute pleasure of talking to one of those robots that answers the phone? You know how it goes. You call and you start talking to them and you tell them exactly what you need answered. You give them the question, you give them the topic, and no matter what, they're going to route you to the wrong department. And by the way, this is just a pro tip. Talking louder to the robot doesn't change anything, okay? We've all tried it. It is so frustrating because, I mean, like, yeah, it is really cool that you can call this line, you can call this number at any time. You can talk to this robot 24/7. But what good is it, even though you have access to it all the time, if it's not giving you answers, if it's not giving you what you need answered? We want answers. Well, here's the thing. Jesus didn't just come to earth. Jesus taught. He gives us answers. And here's what I know. People have deep questions. We have deep questions. We have wrestled with things for a long time. We are searching for answers. Maybe you are searching for answers today. You've got questions like, what is the purpose of life? What am I here for? What is all of this about? What is God like? How can I know truth? What happens after I die? How should I think about success and money and friendship and family? Does my life even matter? Does God even care about me? We have questions and we are longing to get answers. We need someone to teach us the truth about life, about ourselves, about the world, about everything. Well, the book of Acts has really good news for us. Jesus came and taught. Look with me again at verse 1 in Acts chapter 1. It says, I wrote the first narrative, Theophilus, about all that Jesus began to do and teach. Jesus is our teacher. We have a teacher who shows us what we long to know. We have someone who gives us the answers to the questions that we have wrestled with for years and years and years. We have someone who doesn't leave us in the dark, but shows us what all of this is about. Jesus came and taught. And he wasn't just like any teacher. He wasn't like Mrs. Evans or whatever your third grade teacher's name was. He wasn't like that college professor that you really liked that taught you some things. No, Jesus is different. Jesus came to earth from heaven where he eternally existed. He created everything. Jesus knows everything about everything. So we can get answers from Jesus. Here's the truth. You can Google all of these questions. You can Google what is the purpose of my life, but you're not going to get a good answer. In fact, you can Google something like that and then a recipe for redfish meniere can come up and you're like, what? Is that the purpose of my life, to cook? You're not going to get answers to every question from Google because Google doesn't know everything. It doesn't understand everything. Jesus, though, created everything. He is all-knowing. And he has the answers that we long for. And the good news is that Jesus came and taught so that we may know God, so that we may know true life, so that we may know what really matters. Jesus came and taught. So what questions do you have today? What questions have you been stuffing down deep that you have longed for answers to? Maybe it is, how can I be forgiven of things that I have done that are so bad I can't even talk about them? Or how can I really, truly, deeply change? Or how can I let go of the guilt that I have been carrying around for so long? Or how can I be a better spouse, a better parent, a better friend? How can I have a life that means something? You think that if you can just get answers to these questions, then things will change for you. Then your thinking will change, your behavior will change, your feelings will change, your life will change. You think that maybe if you get answers to these questions, that then you will have a new beginning. Well, Jesus gives us the answers. Maybe you've been looking for answers in books, in podcasts, in friends, in social media. Maybe you've been looking for answers in yourself, but no one, none of those knows everything. Only God does. Only Jesus does. And Jesus came and taught. So if you are looking for a new beginning, and you have all of these questions, then you need to come to Jesus. He has the answers. Jesus came and taught. That's the first pillar of a new beginning. Jesus came and taught. There's a second pillar of a new beginning that we see here. Number two, Jesus died and rose. Jesus died and rose. Maybe you were here today and you hear all this Christianity stuff and you think it's all a sham. You think it's all fairy tales. Well, I want you to consider something for a second. We're looking at the book of Acts, and that is written by a guy named Luke that we mentioned before. And Luke was a doctor. And Luke heard these ridiculous claims about Jesus, things that were unimaginable. And Luke was like a real doctor, right? He wasn't like WebMD, you know, where you put your symptoms in and then you find out every time you have 48 hours to live. Like, you know, he was a real doctor. He had seen real people. He had dealt with real things. He knew how the human body worked. And he was hearing these claims about Jesus, like there was a guy who was blind for 20 or 30 years and then Jesus somehow miraculously gave him sight. Or he heard things like, there was a guy who was dead, and then a few days later, Jesus shows up, and he comes back to life. He heard these claims, and Luke had heard fairy tales before. And now he was hearing these stories, and people were saying that these stories were true about Jesus. So you know what Luke does? As a doctor, he decides to figure out what is true. He puts his sharp mind, his reasoning to the test. He begins to investigate, to pull together the stories, to talk to different people so that he can know what truly happened. And he writes all of this stuff down in detail in this book that we call the Gospel of Luke. And so this is what Dr. Luke said at the very beginning of the book of Luke. Luke chapter 1, verse 3. So it also seemed good to me, since I have carefully investigated everything from the very first, to write to you in an orderly sequence, most honorable Theophilus, so that you may know the certainty of the things about which you have been instructed. Do you hear what he's doing here? Dr. Luke is investigating. He has investigated all these things because he is a doctor who is good at getting to the bottom of things. And he gets all of this information, and then he writes it down and gives it to this guy named Theophilus. And the reason that he wrote all of this down is so that Theophilus may know with certainty the things that he has heard. He is saying, look, this is fact. These are not made up stories. So he writes all this down in the book of Luke, in the Gospel of Luke, and then later, he turns and starts writing the story of the church. He does the same thing. He gets all of the information from all the witnesses, and he writes the book of Acts. That's like the Gospel of Luke, part two. But here's the point. Maybe you are here today, and you aren't really sure about all of this Jesus stuff. Maybe you are here today, and you aren't convinced that Jesus is the Savior of the world. Maybe you are here today and you haven't really bought into the story that Jesus, who is fully God and fully man, gave his life as a sacrifice to save people from their sins. Maybe that's you today. Well, first, I want you to know we're glad that you are here. Like, if you want to know the truth, you should seek the truth. And then second, when we look at this passage in the book of Acts, let's remember that it's written by Dr. Luke, a guy who was a thinking person, a guy who just didn't believe in fairy tales. He investigated the stories. He wrote down the details. He made an informed decision. So, Christianity, I want you to know this, Christianity is not some belief system that says, hey, you know, check your brain at the door when you come in here. You're not going to be needing that right here. That's not what Christianity is. Christianity, you know, it's not like Las Vegas. We want you to use your brain when you're here. Christianity is about thinking. Luke is a thinking man. So if you don't believe in Jesus and you are not a Christian, you consider yourself a thinker, well, good news, so was Luke. And so what you can do is you can come back to what Luke wrote and you can see his claims about Jesus and know that this is coming from a doctor who thought about these things, who investigated these things. He's writing historical events, not fairy tales. And look, read it for yourself. Don't take my word for it. Read the Gospel of Luke, read the book of Acts, and see what Dr. Luke said. And he tells us something very important here. You know, we don't celebrate Easter because Jesus came and taught. We don't put on nice clothes. Guys, we don't put on, you know, bright colors that our wives make us wear one time a year just because Jesus was a good teacher. Now, we don't pretend to like those disgusting, semi-edible things called peeps at Easter because Jesus was a good teacher. That's not what it's about. We celebrate Easter because Jesus died and then rose. That's why we celebrate. And this is the core of Christianity. If this isn't true, the Bible says this, if the resurrection is not true, then the rest of it is gibberish. So look with me at Acts chapter 1, verse 3. Talking about Jesus, it says, after he had suffered, he also presented himself alive to them by many convincing proofs, appearing to them over a 40-day period and speaking about the kingdom of God. It says, when he had suffered. Now, what's that talking about? Well, it's not talking about how Jesus, like, was walking and he hit his toe on a rock and then for a few days, you know, was limping around and he had to just suffer through it. And it's not talking about how Jesus ate some probably too old sushi and then it upset his stomach, but he just suffered through it. It's not talking about how Jesus had to spend the holidays with, you know, family members that really annoyed him, but he just suffered through it. No, this is a different type of suffering. This is a real suffering. This is a suffering that we can't even imagine. It is so bad. And if we go back to the book of Luke, to the Gospel of Luke, we can see the suffering of Jesus. How he was beaten severely, nearly to death. And then how he was nailed to a cross where he suffered for hours. And his suffering only ended when he died from the suffering. And just to be sure he was dead, a Roman soldier, which was the most educated, most skilled soldier in the world, that the world had ever seen at that time, took a spear and ran it up under his ribs into his heart to make sure that he was dead. That is a type of suffering we can't imagine. The suffering that Luke is referring to here in verse 3 is Jesus suffering for our sin on the cross. And that suffering ended in his death. But you know the good news of Easter. The good news of Easter is that Jesus didn't stay dead. Jesus rose up from the grave. That's why we are celebrating Easter today. Jesus is alive. Jesus is not dead. Though he suffered, though he died, Jesus came back to life. That's what we are celebrating today. And because he came back to life, everything has changed. Everything for us has changed. Everything is different now. Everything is new. Jesus' resurrection was the beginning of something new for us. Jesus died and rose. If you're a Christian, this is the greatest news in the history of the world for you. Because Jesus died and rose. I mean, he died for your sins so that you could be forgiven of all the bad that you have ever done. But he didn't stay dead. He conquered the grave. He trampled on death when he rose up from the grave. And this is what that means. That if you have faith in Jesus for the forgiveness of your sin, you will one day too rise up from the grave as Jesus did. You will rise to a world that is perfect. Where there is no sin, there is no sadness, there is no sickness, there is no sorrow, there is no death forever. That is what you will inherit. Because Jesus died and rose. And that was the beginning of something new for us. Something new for you if you have faith in Jesus. This is the way that another book of the Bible, 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17 says it. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away, and see, the new has come. Jesus' resurrection was the beginning of something new for us. It was the beginning of a new life for us. So no matter if you're a Christian or not, I want you to hear this today. Christianity is not some religion, not some way of life, not some system of belief that is all about you being a better person. Christianity, it is not about you being the best you. It is not about you maximizing your potential. It is not about you being a good citizen. It is not about you having good morals. It is not about you having good behavior. ultimately, Christianity is about the risen Savior, Jesus Christ. That's what we're celebrating today. And when you understand that, then suddenly you start understanding the reality of everything. And then you find your place in this grand story of history that is being written. You find a new beginning. Because Jesus died and rose. That is a pillar of a new beginning. If you woke up tomorrow and you discovered that you suddenly had the ability to heal anything, to heal any wound, any disease, any malformity. You could even reverse the aging process. If you woke up and discovered that you had this power, would you just go, okay, yeah, I guess that's pretty cool. Oh, no, I am late for work again. What excuse am I going to use today? Is that how you would react? Okay, I was hoping people would say no. Okay, I hope you wouldn't react that way. I hope that if you realized you had this power, that things would be different. How would you react? Well, you'd probably react by going, this is amazing. I can, in just a few days, probably turn this into a very successful business where I can make a lot. No, you wouldn't even do that, right? If you realized that you had the ability to heal people, then everything would change, wouldn't it? Everything would be different. Because this is so huge, you couldn't go on with life as usual. It would be so crazy that your life would be turned upside down. Your outlook would change. Your life would be different. It would be like a new beginning in your life, wouldn't it? Well, friends, Jesus died and then rose from the grave. He stomped death into the ground. That changes everything. That changes everything for us. It shows that he is God and that what he said is true. He promised to save us from our sin by dying for our sin. And then he promised to recreate the world in perfection and deliver us into that perfect world forever. And we know all of this is true because he rose from the grave. He was dead and now he is not. Jesus died and rose. How could we possibly go on with life as usual? We have a new beginning in him, and everything has changed because Jesus died and rose. So now that's different for you, isn't it? Now you don't have to live as a slave to your sin because of this new beginning. Now you don't have to lash out every time you get angry because of this new beginning. Now you don't have to live in fear when you see the craziness of this world because of this new beginning. Now you don't have to live chained to grudges and bitterness because of this new beginning. Now you don't have to live forgetting everything here and now because of this new beginning. Now you don't have to live for the approval of others because of this new beginning. Now you don't have to live in despair when you get that news from the doctor because of this new beginning. Now you don't have to be defined by past mistakes or regrets because of this new beginning. Now you don't have to live feeling insignificant or without purpose because of this new beginning. All because Jesus died and rose. Now everything is different. Now we have a new beginning in Jesus. Jesus died and rose. So those are two pillars for a new beginning. And Jesus came and taught, and Jesus died and rose. Those are the foundations. They are the pillars of the beginning of the church. And did you notice that? Did you notice that as we went through this, I said that the book of Acts is all about the church. We really haven't even talked about the church in these first few verses. You know why? Because it's ultimately all about Jesus. The beginning of the church, the middle of the church, and the end of the church is always all about Jesus. And your new beginning and your life from here on out and the end of your life is all about Jesus. These are the two pillars that we need to see for a new beginning. Have you experienced this new beginning? If you have not ever trusted in Jesus, then you are still longing for this. You still need this. And all of the bad that you have done in your life, it will catch up with you. Your sin will be accounted for one day. You, if you have not trusted in Jesus, you are still stuck in the old. And no matter what you do, you can't truly change things for yourself. Only Jesus can do that. So today, come to him and receive forgiveness. Receive a new beginning in Jesus. He gave his life as a payment for our sin. And if we trust in him, our sins are forgiven and we are made new. So if that's you today, come to God and ask, forgive me based on what Jesus has done. And if you believe that in your heart, if you believe he is who he said he is, that he died for our sin and rose up from the grave, then you will be forgiven of your sin. And you will inherit a new life, a new beginning. So if you know that I'm talking to you, if you can feel the Lord pulling at your heart, then in just a minute we are going to sing a song. And as we sing, I'm going to be standing right down here. I'm going to be waiting for you. As everybody else is singing, come down. Let me talk with you. Let me guide you in trusting in Jesus. But don't let this opportunity slip from you. Don't leave here today without trusting in Jesus, finding forgiveness, and experiencing a new beginning in him. Christians, Jesus came and taught, and Jesus died and rose. And that has changed everything for us. You are changed. You are different because of those things. You have received a new beginning in Jesus. So as we remember his resurrection today, let us celebrate. Let us praise him. Let us worship him. Let us thank him for what he has done, for the new beginning that he has given us. So I'm going to pray. And then we are going to respond by worshiping him in song. And I encourage you, sing loudly, because our risen Savior is worthy. Would you pray with me? Father, thank you. Thank you for your grace. Thank you, Lord, that though we have trusted in ourselves to do good, trusted in ourselves to earn forgiveness, thank you, Lord, that you have grace on us. I thank you, Lord, that we have received a new beginning if we are in Christ. Not based on anything that we have done, but based on the work of Jesus alone. And I pray, Lord, if there is someone in here today that has not trusted in Jesus, would you grab a hold of their hearts? Lord, would you change their hearts? Let them trust in you this morning. I pray, Lord, as we celebrate the resurrection of Jesus, that we would be reminded of the new beginning that we have by grace, and that we would worship you more. Let this be for your glory, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.